Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome, everybody, to yet another episode of A Change in Attitude. Yes, we are back. Episode 9, I believe, is what we last counted off at. I think it's 9. Number 9?
It's 9.
Number 9?
Magic number.
Number 9?
Number That's 9? Creepy. Stop it.
That was very creepy.
No, nobody likes the Beatles reference. Okay, anyway, I am the Texas Gentleman, Tanner Pruitt. I'm joined, of course, by two of my all-time favorite people. I've got Mr. Mags, Podfather Mags here. He's on the internet. You know him. You love him. Yeah.
Well, you know me. Love me. He's stretching.
He's the Podfather. He's going to make you a deal you can't refuse. He's going to... Wait. I got better. He's going to make you a pod you can't refuse.
He's going to make you a pod you can't refuse.
That's going to be the worst joke I've ever made. Apologize. Wow. Nothing.
No, you shouldn't apologize. And of course, Ori is here as well. She's absolutely amazing. One of the stars of the show every week. She just makes my day. Ori, how are you doing today?
I'm hanging in there. I don't know if I would call that completely star quality, but I'll go with it.
you are a star. I appreciate Aww. It. You've got this new headset that I'm absolutely fascinated by the way.
Meow.
Yeah. Good. Oh, and they light up.
Wait.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to flash you.
They flash too.
They do.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where can I get a pair?
Mm. Amazon.
All right. So
I will
say,
I think these are kids style because they are a little snug on my head. So,
ladies and gentlemen, if you are in the market for a cat style quality studio headset, Ori knows where it's at.
Ori's the hookup.
I got your hookup.
We are, of course, brought together today, as the Avengers would be, to discuss WWE Monday Night Raw from, July 29th of 1996?
July 29th, yes.
Season 4, episode 30 in the Peacock.
There you go. So, yes, if you're following along with us here stateside, it's on the Peacock.
This is week 2 of the recordings from the Key Arena, I think, in Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they were pretty hyped up, as was Vince McMahon, who I could barely understand what he was saying at the start of the show. He's like, rah, 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 rah. I was like, yeah, that's about right.
Who is this guy? He's kicked the fuck out of Armin Johnson. What the fuck's going on here?
we kick off the show with Psycho Sid taking on Justin Hawk Bradshaw with Uncle Zebekiah. Yeah, mm-hmm. What a name that is. Psycho Sid, super duper over. He's a big time star. You can tell that fan reaction was incredible when he came to the ring. What did you think of this match, though? I'll kick it to Ori first. This match, it's on the short side.
It was. I mean, what did I write down? I wrote down a bunch of crap about this match. I was hyped for how hyped the crowd was, especially at the beginning of the match, throughout the match. Of course, we had a DQ due to the bull rope with the bell on it, knocking Sid out. I feel like they were trying to keep both competitors looking strong, but I don't know if it was the way the match was set up, but I really feel like they didn't leave Hawk looking as strong as Sid. And I don't think it necessarily had to do with the DQ or with Sid retaliating and attacking both him and Zebekiah after the match. But I will say, as far as the opening as a whole, it felt more like our more modern Raws, where it was a 3-4-5 minute match, in and out. The energy level was there. Through the most part of the match, after the match, with the attack after the bell and everything. And it felt like more of what I'm used to from an opening Raw segment or, you know, match or what have you. And so it felt like, you know, now granted, this may completely change come next week, but it was like, okay, this is what I'm used to seeing from Raw. And so maybe we've turned a corner here. Maybe not. I don't know. No spoilers, boys. So, but I mean, the match was decent. It was all right.
Yeah, it was fine. You know, Psycho Sid. Yeah, he does some moves. He choke slams Bradshaw, and Bradshaw takes that very disrespectfully. And then what happens, Mags?
He gets clocked with the bull rope and the cowbell. I mean, is that a thing in Texas? Do they have ropes with cowbells on like that? It seems to be a common trope.
I mean, not really. No. I mean,
you would be a moron to put a cowbell on a rope like that.
Are there cowbells on cows?
Well, no, but I mean, the way that he used it, it just doesn't make sense. I haven't even really seen too many cows walking around with ropes that have the bell on it. So, I mean, it's, yeah.
Either way, this match for me, it served one purpose. It was to keep those energy levels up, because that crowd was hyped for Sid. I think if you have him in the ring for too long, that hype can quickly die down, because as good as a character he is, his wrestling work is very, very basic. He's the typical big man, all power moves, no kind of like technical wrestling. So if you have him in a match for too long, that energy level is going to sap. So having him in a 1-2 minute match to open the show, I thought made absolute sense. The finish, I mean, did it need the DQ? Probably not. But like Ori said, it was an attempt to keep Bradshaw looking at least a little bit strong. And obviously Sid is the big star in this. So I thought it was a good way to start a Raw, especially coming off the almost lackluster Raw that we had last week in terms of star power. I thought that this was a good way to kick off a show.
Yeah, I 100% agree about it being a great way to kick off the show. I will say I slightly disagree with your perception about Bradshaw. I thought he came across as very weak, having to result to the bull rope in less than a minute to go and clock Psycho Sid.
Yeah, I get that, but he's a douchebag character. This is what he's playing. He's a typical Texan.
Wow. Oh,
well,
that's 50% of our audience gone. I apologize.
Wow. That's,
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Moving on, then. We go backstage where Farooq Asad is there with his shiny helmet and his funny clothes, saying that he's the true modern day gladiator. Sonny's there. You know, she's hyping up Farooq. Farooq's talking about how there's no rules in street fighting, and he's talking about the life on the streets. And I bought into it in regards to, I know that it's Farooq, and knowing who Farooq later becomes, like, as a character, and knowing who Ron Simmons was prior to this. I can't get past the helmet. I fear that he's about to talk me into a conspiracy theory here, Mag.
Do you not believe in the real modern day gladiator, Farooq Asad? How that is disrespectful. No wonder he wouldn't class you as his brother either, because he certainly doesn't class Ahmed as his brother, as he said in his promo. There's no rules in street fighting, allegedly.
It's the helmet. That's what throws it off.
He's made out of tin foil as well.
You can see. He's about to tell me that the jet streams in the air are filled with chemicals that are going to manipulate our minds and stuff like that. That's the exact feeling that I'm going to get looking at this promo. I will say, as a positive, I'm excited about this potential Intercontinental title match between Ahmed Johnson and Farooq Asad at SummerSlam, regardless of silly helmet. Ori, how are you feeling about this so far, now that we have Farooq Asad on Raw?
I'm excited to see Farooq, old school Farooq, you know, as he was as a singles competitor, because I haven't seen much of that. And the promo was okay. Sonny was great. Mm-hmm. You know, we've hyped Sonny up a lot, and I think she's kind of earned that. I think he stumbled a little bit, but it was a decent promo for all intents and purposes, and it helped build SummerSlam Farooq versus Ahmed Johnson. I mean, it kind of did what it needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
For me, it's the reasoning why Farooq attacked Ahmed. It was because he was disrespectful to women.
Mm.
I mean, is that a reason for him to wear a gladiator outfit and a tinfoil hat? And to come out and rupture somebody's kidney. I don't know if to me builds to SummerSlam, but the match has the potential to be great, because we all know that Farooq can go on, and Ahmed Johnson is one of Vince's boys right now. So there's the potential's there to be a banger of a match.
Well, and I appreciate you bringing up the ruptured kidney, because we heard that multiple times throughout the night here on this show. And that's definitely something that you, the listener, can look forward to when you go and watch this episode.
I wasn't sure how you were
in a kidney.
Yeah. I was like, where are you going with this?
Hearing about the ruptured kidney. I was like,
about it. Yeah. No, we don't want anyone to actually experience a ruptured kidney. That would be bad.
Yeah. That'd be terrible. We don't want that. the next match that we get here on the card is Vader versus Mark Merrow, and I don't know about you guys, but I feel like I've seen my fair share of Mark Merrow the last few weeks.
He's been on four out of the last five Raws.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
Do you think he's there because of him, or would it be something maybe to do with a certain valet?
Oh, completely.
I'm going with the latter there. Yes, the valet. Mark Merrow accompanied by Sable, Vader accompanied by Jim Cornette. This match was fine. It was fine.
Yeah, I actually really enjoyed this match. Okay. I thought it was a well done match. I mean, Merrow, we've seen, as much as we rag on him in the ring, he's got wrestling chops. He's certainly has got the technicals down in the half line. He misses a few things. I mean, I don't particularly like the kind of the wheel kick that he does, the same kind of kick that bust up Stone Cold's mouth. Mm. I don't like his plancher over the top rope. It looks incredibly dangerous. He doesn't seem to understand when to let go, and he essentially falls on Vader. And that sunset flip spot, yikes, that was rough.
That was very much bad.
But good on Vader for repositioning himself ready for the spot. But the in-between stuff, I actually really enjoyed. I think Vader still looked like an animal. Mark Miro looked like he could attack the big beast. I just thought it was a well-told match. Mm. But just that you're always going to remember those botch spots like that sunset flip thing.
Yeah.
What say you, Ori? How did Mark Mero come across to you in this match here?
I thought it was a good match. I thought, despite, you know, everything, they both still look. Oh my gosh, both still looked good once it was over. Mm-hmm. Despite who won or lost, the only thing that really stuck out to me that was a problem was Cornette and King going in on Sable at the beginning of the match, constantly calling her a dog.
It was awful.
That was pretty
cringe. It's one thing to say, like, you know, that's just not my preference. It's a whole nother thing to call any woman a dog.
He called her Lassie. He called her Lassie and Mark Miro Timmy.
Hell no, give me that racket. I'm going to bust somebody's head. Full snot. You don't call no woman a dog.
You went full Southern there.
I did.
I'll do but it but again. you're absolutely right. I mean, that was totally uncalled for. Obviously him being the heel, but there are things that don't come across so well nowadays.
I'm a little fired up. I'm trying to calm down.
No, you're good. You're good. So Vader picks up the win here, and that prompts Jim Cornette to call out Jose Lothario to meet him in the ring. And we go to commercial break, where we get the super size Stridex big slam of the week. Yes.
From 10 minutes ago.
Yes.
Nothing happened all week that they had to go with something that happened only 10 minutes previous.
That's the dumbest shit I've ever seen. Really?
So we get Psycho Sid giving the jackknife power bombs to Justin Hawk Bradshaw and Zebekiah. And that was something.
To be fair, they did look cool. They were decent power bombs.
Yeah, they were those were on point power bombs for sure. But yeah, super Stridex pads. They want you to check out that slam.
Because just like in Texas, bigger is better.
Bigger is better.
And you get 55 pads in a box, apparently.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Wow, Bags was really taking specific notes during this show.
Because I've seen that advert now a couple of times, and it's obviously a spinning Stridex box, and I didn't know what Stridex was actually for. It's for acne, isn't it?
Acne, it's acne treatment. Pads. It's basically a acne treatment in toner. Toner pads.
Yeah, like Clarison.
Yeah.
And I spotted the 55.
It's an astringent already done into the pads, and you just pull one out and wipe it all over your face and pray to God that you don't, you know, break out anymore, which never actually works.
Well, if you've got 55 of the pads, you've got at least a good few weeks of not breaking out.
Yeah, you got plenty of opportunities to try and see if it works.
You would hope, but you do it twice a day, so you've got at least a month worth of pads, give or take. Mm-hmm.
So we've gotten
way too much into this Stridex thing. Good Lord.
It's a very notable part of the show. We come back from commercial break.
Pivotal.
And Vince McMahon is in the ring with a microphone along with Jim Cornette and Jose Lothario. And Jim Cornette is talking about how Lothario was training Shawn Michaels, and then Michaels didn't need him anymore, and so Lothario was just hanging out at his house all the time, just waiting until Shawn Michaels finally called him again, saying that he needed him, and basically was calling him a bum and called him trash, and that he considered Shawn Michaels trash as well. And Lothario threatens Jim Cornette, and Cornette then tries to hit Lothario with the tennis racket, which didn't go so well for him. Lothario just gives him a huge right and knocks Cornette right on his ass. And it was
knocked him on his ass three times with one punch. He fell over three times from that one punch. That's a solid right hook.
It was great.
A little bit of confusion, though, as we were immediately taken backstage where Shawn Michaels was watching said promo happen, and he is attacked by Mankind, who is using the mandible claw on Michaels. Not really quite sure what that's all about.
Nope.
I'm sure we'll find out in future episodes.
The whole thing was very convoluted to me. Because I felt like the whole point, just to go back just a little bit, I felt like the whole point of the Vader versus Mero match was more so to announce the Raw Invitational Battle Royale. The winner's going to meet at the Raw after SummerSlam, either Vader or Shawn Michaels, whoever wins. And then we got this whole thing between, I want Jose Lothario, I want him out here right now, from Jim Cornette. And then we got this really quick clip of Clarence Mason trying to talk Gorilla Monsoon into whomever his client is. Then we get the slam of the week from 15 minutes ago. Like, this whole 10 minutes worth of stuff, it was so much within a 10 minute time span. And then we get the goofy Stridex advert with the SummerSlam. And then the whole thing between Cornette and Lothario, and you could not hear jack or squat. Like, I rewound that two or three times just to figure out what Lothario was saying. I was looking at the closed captions. Like, I caught almost none of it either. Like, someone should have prepped him before this whole thing. Talk like, if Jim planned this and wanted to do it, like, dude, I need you to talk slow. I need you to talk loud. Yes, it feels like I'm yelling at you. I want you to yell back at me, because you could not hear him at all. You know, like, don't get me wrong, I love the whole thing between Cornette and Lothario. I thought Cornette was on point. He was great. Everything he said was inflammatory and got him the reaction that he wanted, got the reaction of the crowd that they wanted from it. It wasn't a bad segment overall, but you could not, the exciting part was Lothario knocking Cornette out and him falling three different times from one punch. You know, if we're going to let Jose Lothario talk, Vince, hold the mic closer, or somebody prep him and work with him so that we can hear what he has to say. That was my biggest issue with that whole thing right there. And then we get Mankind versus Shawn Michaels backstage. And no, it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. But like, in a week where we've got Farooq Asad all of a sudden coming out of nowhere, Ron Simmons, you know, King yelling out his name on TV but doesn't know what to call him, and Vince trying to cover it up saying we don't know who this is. It just kind of fits the theme for the last couple of weeks. You know, it's just kind of, we don't know if it's going to make sense. We're just going to throw Jell-O at the wall and see what sticks. Like, that's kind of how it feels to me.
Lots of mysteries unfolding here, for sure. Mags, we are then shown a highlight. Would that even be the right word? A replay, let's call it, of Aldo Montoya defeating Jerry the King Lawler with a DDT, ironically enough. And we hear from Aldo Montoya himself, who, for those of you unawares, this is actually just incredible in a
jockstrap. Wear the yellow jockstrap. He's
Sure, we'll go with that one. For someone who is billed from Portugal, he speaks perfect English with a northeastern accent. It's a little bit strange. So a rematch is being scheduled between Lawler and Montoya, and Lawler runs down Montoya, calling him all sorts of names, and talks about how he's the designated driver for Jake the Snake Roberts and all this and that. And it's again an instance of King being a bit cringe. He does promise Aldo Montoya that he will have bigger problems next week than Jake has ever faced. So we'll see if that happens. Mm-hmm. See if it happens.
This promo was not good. poor Aldo Montoya to be put in this position where he's defending Jake, wearing a jockstrap on his head, and having to talk with the King, Jerry Lawler. He was just in a no-win situation. And what was really frustrating me about it was you could see all the times he was, instead of listening to the promo from King and then reacting to it, he was just waiting to get his words in. And you could see the amount, he almost missed his spot three or four times. And then when he finally does get to speak, he says, Jake only taught him one thing. And then he says, first he taught me to always give people a chance. And then two, he taught me the DDT. So he didn't just teach me one thing. He taught me two things. He promised that he would basically beat Jerry Lawler with the DDT in honor of his mentor, Jay the Snake Roberts. Mm. Which, it was not good.
The DDT, the famed, highly complex DDT.
It's such a difficult move to pick up.
Thank God Jake the Snake was there to help assist with the teaching.
King came with a line at the end, said that DDT is the only thing that Jake wouldn't drink, and it was just on that alcoholism all the time, and it's very, very grinding. It's exhausting listening to. I mean, there's one point where he says the only reason he lost to Aldo Montoya is because he was intoxicated by the fumes coming from Aldo's body because he spent so much time with Jake, and it's like, give it a rest. Come on, man. This trope is getting boring quickly.
Well, and I'm glad that you said that, because that's here in my notes as well, that at this point, it's not just offensive. It's just it's now getting boring. Like King is like and that might, I'm not sure if that's worse, but for some reason it feels worse, because now it's just like, what else you got to say? Like, what else are you going to say about this? Yeah.
And it's quite clear with Jake no showing a couple of episodes ago, that he's really suffering at the moment. He's really kind of struggling with these demons. And for King to be nailing it on every single week, that's kicking a man when he's down. And I can't vibe with that.
Mm-hmm. We have our next match, which is going to be Davey Boy Smith taking on Henry O. Godwin.
That's fine. I don't have any thoughts about that.
Oh, no.
We can move on.
Go ahead.
Feeling between the whole Aldo Montoya and King thing, it kept feeling like he was trying to get a word in, and it would sound like King was going to shut up and stop, and then he wouldn't, and he'd be like and like he would go to say something, and then King would start up all over again. And it's like, either take a breath or don't. Finish what you're saying so that the kid can talk. You either want the kid to cut a promo or you don't. And that kind of drove me nuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's that's another good point. He just wouldn't shut up. And I think that's maybe one of the bigger criticisms I have of watching King doing these promos is that, yes, he's trying to be the heel. He's trying to just get all the heat on him. And that's cool in theory, but you gotta give it some space, right? Like, it's just, I don't know. It's a thing. Ori, since I didn't go to you directly on that segment, I'll go to you directly on this segment. Davey Boy Smith versus Henry O. Godwin. This was a match. This was a match. Yeah. What are your thoughts on it, Ori?
It was a match. honestly, it was all right. No. You know, I did see that they had a break in there where Sonny will be live in the WWF AOL auditorium.
Breaking
news. For the most downloaded celebrity. Yeah. And when I heard that noise at first, I was like,
Radio Techers, right? Yeah, that's
what that's not what I heard at all. I thought it was like the warning alert system, and I was like, that wouldn't break through in the middle of a stream. What the hell? Like, are we having a hurricane down here? What the hell's going on? And I'm like, no, I'm streaming. How would the National Weather Service break into a stream to give me warning information? That makes no sense.
Warning, Sonny is on your screen.
Maybe that's what it was. I don't know. I mean, I thought Owen did a great job.
Dial-up internet, yeah.
Yeah. I thought Owen did a good job on commentary. He seems to every time he's on it. And it's a shame that we didn't have him around longer just for that purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, don't get me wrong. He's a great wrestler, and I would have loved to see more from him. But, God, he's great on commentary. He would have been an amazing commentarian, you know, if he was still around. I don't know if that's the right word, but that's the word that I'm going with, commentarian. And so, I mean, Davey Boy won with the distraction. It was what it was. Nobody's going to let anybody from Camp Cornette go over at this point. You know, it's kind of like WCW and the NWO. Like, if you're in a match with the NWO is going to win. Mm-hmm. You know, unless it's a big, big match where we're building more story. For example, Davey Boy versus Shawn Michaels. And now we've got Vader versus Shawn Michaels. And now who's going to win that? I don't know, because I haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it was an all right match. Like, I don't know. It was fine.
Fair enough.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Go to powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT, get your free month. Again, that's powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Mags, what did you think of this match? We did have a slop bucket fall over.
And we finally got to see what the slop is made of. It's made of peppers, olives. Yeah, essentially. It's essentially coleslaw with olives in.
Olives and bell peppers and coleslaw.
I didn't personally see the bell peppers and the olives, but when they turned over the bucket, I was like, that's coleslaw. Like, it looks like mayonnaise and cabbage for sure.
Okay, well, that's fair. I did not want to look at it too closely. I really didn't.
It was certainly not slop anywhere. Yeah.
as a Texan, I can tell you what I know coleslaw when I see coleslaw, and that is that is some coleslaw.
Or at least the makings of.
The makings of.
Yeah, I've just gotta reiterate what Ori said. The match happened. There was nothing particularly bad or particularly good about the match. This was all about Owen on commentary. The way he protected his Slammy Award, the way he gave Hillbilly Jim grief for smelling and attracting flies. The way they even gave Vince and King grief about asking about his brother all the time. I thought that was really well on point. And he did mention about whether Austin versus Brett would be a good match. It is a really, really good match, like really, really good. But yeah, I thought Owen was the star of this whole segment, especially coming towards the end when he knocked the slot bucket over, so we couldn't get the finish, and Bulldog was able to pull off the power slam and get the victory. But yeah, it's a segment that happened, and Owen was the clear star of it.
Mm. Yeah, it's good stuff. We are then presented with one of my personal favorite highlights of this show. We get clips of actually Mark Henry setting what was then the U.S. record for deadlifting at 903 pounds. It may still be the record for all I know.
I tried to check, but I couldn't find the list of records, but he's a strong boy.
Yes.
Woof, he's a strong boy.
Yeah. It's about three times as much as I can deadlift. And then he does a squat. He does a 953 pound squat. He can bench press 600 pounds. He can even dunk a basketball, and he's got charisma.
Has he got that last one? I don't know about that last one.
They talked about
he's got a salmon jacket. He has got a really cool salmon jacket.
Yeah.
Not yet, but he will.
He will one day have a salmon jacket. We will not be covering that here on A Change in Attitude, but
no.
You can definitely find it on the internet. He's going to be he's going to be at the Summer Olympics. He's been on Oprah. They're making a big deal out of Mark Henry here, and
I think it's because this is just after Jim Ross has essentially signed him to a 10-year deal once he's running the Olympics has happened.
It's a very, very big deal. He would, if I'm not mistaken, I don't believe he actually placed or medaled at the Olympics, but
I think he came dead last.
One Mr. Kurt Angle, however, who we may see more of in future episodes, he will actually medal at the Olympics in 1996.
With a broken freaking neck.
Yes.
Right.
Indeed. So I've met Mark Henry a few times, and I've had a buddy who would actually maybe I can't disclose this. I don't know. He's actually been to Mark Henry's house for work. He's at for like repairs and maintenance and stuff like that. And Mark Henry is a really cool dude from everything that I've experienced and known about him. So yes, Mark Henry is he's A-okay in my book. Yeah.
Yeah. I did some research for him for an episode of Badlands quite a while ago. And I looked into all his kind of like his powerlifting and weightlifting, people around that time when he made the transition from weightlifting to powerlifting said they've never seen somebody be able to make that transition as well as Mark Henry did. They said on the face of it, they look like similar sports, but the fact is they are totally not. There's totally kind of like different ways of training, and it's so hard to pick up one discipline after you've spent so long on the other discipline. And they said he was like a natural at both. He was like a once in a generation talent at it. And the amount of records he set is phenomenal.
Yeah, Mark Henry, like I said, A-OK in my book. He's really solid. Ori, do you have any particular memories of Mark Henry?
I do. They're not. I mean, he seems like he'd be a really cool guy. He seems like he's a sweetheart of a guy. But some of the things that they did with him at some point. If you know, you know. I'm not going to go there.
Yeah, we won't spoil a future episode of A Change in Attitude just yet. We're gonna watch all of that happen. We move on to the main event segment, which is actually quite interesting. It's The Undertaker taking on Steve Austin, which is I was looking actually quite forward to this match all episode. Before that, we do get some interesting backstage happenings. A very disturbing promo in a dimly lit room with Mankind and Gold Dust. And I really don't feel comfortable talking about it.
It was so weird.
Yeah.
It was so, so weird. Mankind was talking about an incident that happened when he was a kid, and was it something like destruction can be beautiful? And then he's there stroking Goldust and that.
Goldust is stroking Mankind's arm, and then Mankind was stroking Goldust's blonde wig, and then
Marlena's in the back,
shocked at the whole thing.
You know, it's pretty bad when Marlena's freaked out.
I would be. I don't blame her.
It was a weird promo.
This is, of course, a setup for The Undertaker versus Mankind boiler room brawl at SummerSlam that we'll be watching here in just a few short episodes, I'm sure. Undertaker versus Stone Cold Steve Austin. It's actually, very much main event worthy. Ori, what did you think of this match?
Well, let me first say, I'm shocked there was a fourth match. Because in all of the Raws that we've covered, just specifically for this show, there have been only three matches max. And usually the longest one is at the beginning of this show, which is why I say, you know, this show feels more like a modern Raw. Four matches within an hour. Yeah, that sounds just about right. Anywhere from 3 to 4 an hour. So it felt definitely more like a modern Raw. I thought it was a really good flashback. The thing that threw me off once again was more commentary than anything. Vince throws out this line, "This is a Donnybrook." And I'm going, "What? What? Like, what is this word? And where did he get it from? And can he please give it back?" Like, it made no sense. And then King throws out, "You ever heard of stomping a mud hole and walking it dry?" I'm like, "Oh, so now we're just stealing lines from Jim Ross? Like, what the hell's going on here? What show am I even watching?" Like, it was just weird. Like, the match was decent. I liked everything that Taker and Stone Cold did. I thought it went well. I thought it was very interesting to see Stone Cold play the no, don't attack me, no, and then go after him, because in the later versions of Stone Cold, as he gets more confident in his character, that's not something that we see. You know, it's I'm a badass and I'm gonna kick your ass and blah blah blah, and that's the end of it. You know, and so it was very interesting to see this other side of Stone Cold. But I thought what they did together was great. I thought it was a decent match. I liked that they had Mankind come out and attack Taker. I liked that they did the DQ with the count out on Taker, causing Stone Cold to win. That leaves him still strong. That continues the whole Taker-Mankind encounter. And I thought it was great as far as the match goes. And as far as the ending went, I thought it was a good match.
I'll pan it over to you here next, Mags, but I do want to give the listeners the update here, and I thank you, Ori, for pointing out, what does a Donnybrook mean? Donnybrook is actually I believe it's a county or a suburb in Ireland where they would have the Donnybrook Fair. I think it was like a fighting festival, if I'm not mistaken, where they would have quarrels and lots of liquor being consumed. And it's a free for all, basically. It's very tumultuous event that was held from the 13th century all the way through the 19th century when it was eventually abolished. So there you go. You learned something here on a change in attitude.
All righty then.
Vince, with those very much up-to-date references again.
Yes, he pulled a 13th century reference.
Yeah. This sounds like something he's heard of that day, the day he was recording, and he thought, I'm strong-arming this in somewhere. That sounds like my kind of gig.
This is quite a Donnybrook here, pal.
Yeah. If we hear that anymore up to SummerSlam, he has definitely heard of it that day, and he just put it in every single time.
he probably heard British Bulldog say it, and then he was like, you know what? You know, that's a fascinating word there. I got to use it.
Stop it.
Yeah, but I'm gonna have to agree with Ori. I thought this match was really good. And it's a rematch of one we watched a few episodes ago. With a very similar kind of a shenanigans finish. But from that match to this match, you can see just how much Austin has grown as a character. He is really taking this Stone Cold 316 character and building it very, very quickly. I thought that this was the best match we've seen of him in the time that we've been watching. I love the whole King coming with the stomping and mud all and walking it dry, only because that ends up becoming Austin's catchphrase, which is at least, if King has given one good thing in the 9 weeks we've been watching this, it's that he's give Austin a catchphrase that we will end up knowing and loving. I thought it was a really good match. Keeps Undertaker strong. Going into the boiler room brawl, Austin obviously is going to be someone who is going to be strong for the next 5, 6, 7 years. So keeping him strong is something that is definitely on Vince's mind. I thought it was a great match. I really, really enjoyed it.
I will definitely say it was better than their previous encounter, for sure. Again, the shenanigans finish is there, yes. But they do make a point of it here, as The Undertaker does do a bit of a promo post-match, saying that Mankind come SummerSlam will rest in peace. And we were also told about the Invitational Battle Royal next week to see who gets the next WWF title shot after Vader. And of course, the Jerry Lawler versus Aldo Montoya match, which was highlighted for a reason, I'm sure. Before we head on out, let's get the Monday night highlights. Yes, Monday night highlights here. It's going to be something of note, good or bad, from the show. Ori, I'll start with you. What is your Monday night highlight from this week?
The promo from Taker at the end. Taker has a wonderful way of saying a lot without saying much and making it very impactful. As a matter of fact, oddly enough, I heard, I watched a recording once of one Mark Marrow doing a motivational speaking talk for a bunch of people. And I believe he said something to the effect of, it's 10% what you say and 90% how you say it. And Taker is definitely one of those people that can say just a little bit. He didn't have to say much, 1, 2, 3 sentences, but the way that he says them, has such the inflection he puts on his words, his tone of voice, his demeanor in which he carries himself speaks so much louder than the words that he actually says. And I think it does him such service to his character. And I think that's why he is an icon. You know, it's why he is the Phenom. You know, I know they were calling him the Phenom even then in 96, but there's more to it than just his wrestling ability. That there's a presence with him that he just has down pat. And even then it was just amazing. But yeah, the only other note that I had was this was the only other Raw that we have watched with four matches. The other one that we have covered was the Raw after King of the Ring. Every other Raw has been either two or three matches only. So I was really happy that we got four matches this week.
Good deal. Yeah. I mean, you gotta give props to the Undertaker. I mean, considering that this was 25 years ago at this point, and his legacy still going strong today, is quite fascinating. So yeah, big props to you, Ori, and pointing out to, you know, the Undertaker promo. I thought it was very good, very impactful for sure. Mags, what about you? What is your Monday night highlight this week?
Okay, for me, I have two. The first one is essentially an honorable mention, but it was just how over Sarko Sid was. I mean, just when he came out, the cheers and the pops that he got, you could see him actually spinning around in the aisle, walking to the ring, just absorbing all the love that he was getting, the smile on his face. It was cool to see, because he looks like a prototypical wrestler. He looks like he's carved out of granite, and it was just cool to see a hot star on a Raw. We've suffered through some not so good Raws, and I thought that was a really entertaining way to start and get the crowd hype from the very first second. But the biggest highlight for me was Owen Hart. Again, it's becoming almost like a broken record where guest commentators are becoming the best part of the show. We've had it with Sonny a couple of times, and Owen again has been on commentary before and stolen the show. And I think he did that with this match. It got to the point where we weren't even really bothered about the match that was happening in the ring because of how good Owen was at being a slimy, cocky heel on commentary. The hints to friction between him and his brother, calling the hillbillies and the hog farmers smelling and batting away flies. I just thought he was so, so clever. Even when he was in the ring and he played up, still having an injured wrist, he went to put his arms up and then he was pulling down. He just had it. He just knew wrestling. He just knew how to sell. It was so, so well done. And it's such a goddamn shame that he was cut off in his prime. And what we could have had with Owen Hart, even after retiring, the man he had for the business, what he could have brought is just, it's such a shame, absolute shame. But yeah, for me, he was the star of the show.
I mean, even Vince brought up at one point, you know, it only takes 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever, to heal a broken hand. Oh, no, not me. I'm on the road. I'm still wrestling, blah, blah, blah. I'm still working. It takes much more for me as a strong, you know, athlete, blah, blah, blah. Like, it was just brilliant.
To be fair, he does clock people around the head with it on a regular basis. So that will re-injure a broken wrist quite a lot.
I would think so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree. Owen Hart is an amazing part of this show, and I was also very impressed by the reaction that Psycho Sid got. So yes, this was a great call for a Monday night highlight. For me, I'm almost begrudgingly pointing this out because I don't really, it's not a comfortable thing, but I gotta give it to Mankind. When I think of this episode, all I think of is Mankind because of the just how weird and uncomfortable and eerie the promo he cut was, and him attacking Shawn Michaels. He's obviously making a name for himself in a regard there. He's making himself known with The Undertaker, obviously, because of their match coming up, the Boiler Room Brawl at SummerSlam. Mankind was all over this episode in a way that I really didn't expect. And for somebody who would later on, you know, have a change of look, a change of attire, and obviously we get to know some of his other personalities. I thought that this was very, very well done on his part. As uncomfortable as it made me, I'd be remiss if I didn't point out how much of a highlight Mankind was for this episode.
It was literally all over the show. And the seeds that he planted for the Undertaker match, and then what's happening with him and Shawn, why did he attack the champion? It's all there, and it's going to be very interesting to see what happens.
Indeed. Any other overall thoughts on this episode of Raw here, Ori or Mags? Ori, well, I'll go to you first.
Not really.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it was what it was, you know? I mean, wasn't terrible. The greatest thing. Sliced bread.
We definitely march onwards towards SummerSlam, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, for me, it was actually one of the better Raws that we've watched so far in terms of in-ring stuff. We got a squash match at the beginning. We got some decent wrestling between a Colossus like Vader and a Half-Life like Mark Miro. Yeah, there were points that didn't hit the mark. The sunset flip, Jesus. The Aldo Montoya promo, Jesus. But we still got good promos from the likes of Taker, from the likes of Cornette. The Jose Lothario one was a little bit of a letdown. And then we got a great match with Austin and Taker. So I think this was probably one of the more positive Raws that we've watched in the short time we've been doing the show so far.
Well, I can definitely say y'all need to go and check out this episode of Raw, July 29th, 1996, and judge it for yourselves. Let us know what you think of this episode of Raw. As, again, we march towards SummerSlam 1996. That should be a banger once we get a chance to watch it. Until then, Ori, where can people find more of you and your content out there on the internet?
You can find me on the Twitter at Oriona75. That's O-R-I-O-N-A 75. You can also catch me with the same username on TikTok. And you can also find me on Twitch Monday and Friday evenings and occasionally in between. But definitely those 2 days at 8 p.m. That handle is a little bit different. It's O-R-I-O-N-A 7.
Well, there you go. Definitely check out Ori on Twitch. She's definitely amazing, and she sometimes even drops by on our shows as well over on Radio Techers in the chat while she's gaming. So, yeah.
I actually tried to get y'all in. I tried to bait and switch you a couple days ago on trying to get y'all to hop into the Twitch stream. Make y'all think I was playing some FM21.
Do it.
No.
You should do it.
Not playing Football Manager.
Do it. You should play Football Manager. Yep.
I'm not playing Football Manager.
Okay, fine. Shooting
things, okay?
Mags, where can't people find you on the internet?
Well, you certainly cannot find me at @TexasGentleman_. I'm definitely not there. But you can find me at Podfather Mags. In terms of content, I am everywhere. If you've had a podcast, or even if you thought that you may be interested in having a podcast, I've been on that podcast already. I've been a guest on it. but in terms of my content, I'm part of the team over at Radio Techers with my good friend here, Tanner and Matt Willis, where we have been recently covering the Euros. Spoiler, we're recording this whilst the Euros is still on, so yay for Spain winning the Euros.
Wow, I can't believe Denmark won the Euros.
But yeah, other than that, you can find me on Five Rounds here on Chairshot. I'm all over the place. Yeah, come and give me a follow on at PodfatherMags on Twitter to get links to all my content.
There you go. Definitely check out all of Mags' content. It's always a good time.
Tanner, where can we find you?
Oh, well, goodness. So you can find me on Twitter at TexasGentleman_. I also operate a couple other handles for some other shows that I do. Obviously, Radio Techers, which is where myself and Mags, and obviously the magnificent Matt Willis, host alternate football commentary. We're generally joined by a special guest more and more recently, so you may never know who might be dropping in on Radio Techers from one week to another. It might be Hulk Hogan. No, it won't be Hulk Hogan. I promise it's not going to be Hulk Hogan. Yeah, no, that's a bad decision. but it could be you that might be on Radio Techers someday. So definitely check that out. Speaking of Hulk Hogan, oddly enough, I actually just got done recording a very fun insight on the Hulk Hogan Gawker case with my friend Rob Wilkins over on Headlock Talk, where I'm doing my finale of Headlock Talk. It's going away. It's going to the vault and being retired. But you're going to be able to catch a lot of great, fun episodes that took a lot of work and research, not only on Headlock Talk, but also on Love Wrestling, where that final run will be held there as well. So definitely check out Love Wrestling. And yeah, I'm over here on A Change in Attitude, which you should also follow on Twitter, by the way.
At ACIA Podcast on Twitter.
Yes, thank you, Mags. And I'll kick it back over to you again. I hear we also have an email address where if you have a question or want to write to us, you can do so.
We certainly do, and we would absolutely love to hear your feedback and your thoughts on the shows that we've covered. Or if you are like Steve-O, you can watch weeks and weeks ahead in advance and drop.
I think he's farther ahead than we are.
he's much further away than.
Yeah, because he was throwing out some stuff on Twitter, and I'm like, homie, I haven't even seen this yet. Like, where are you, man?
Well, I'm so grateful for the likes of Steve-O and the likes of Scottish Juggalo Danner. They've really taken this show to that. And Steve-O's never he's kind of like Ori. I don't think he's watched a lot of this stuff. So he's watching it for the first time, and yeah, it's cool to see him get so invested in it, even if he is way ahead of us now. But yeah, you can send your feedback and your thoughts and your questions and opinions to us via email at achangeinattitudepodcast@gmail.com.
Definitely do that, guys. Definitely do that. It's been an honor and a pleasure to yet again present another episode of A Change in Attitude for my good friends Ori and Mags. I am the Texas Gentleman Tanner Pruitt, and just a gentle reminder here on the Chair Shot Radio Network to always use your head. Good night.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.